our show.
We're counting down the top 10 threequels. Threequels. Wayne wants to call it.
That's right, baby.
Or if you will, third films in a franchise of all time.
Damn right. Let's go, Polly. Wasn't expecting that one. Oddly apt. Got to say.
Could be.
Just saying. Can't say a thing about it at the moment. Welcome to episode 469, dude, of the Countdown Podcast. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the show. We can't stuff in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. Today, the best third films in a franchise, or threequels, if you will.
Now, I should clarify.
Now, there are some absolute fast and loose rules about this one.
It does not need to be a trilogy. It can be a quadrilogy, for all we know. It can be a quintuple trilogy.
No. It doesn't have to be.
All right, doesn't have to be. We're talking about the third film.
Yes, exactly.
And to be clear again, it does not mean that the third film in The Thing was the best of all the films. Nope. It just means it's the best third film.
Yes. We're comparing all third films against other third
franchises that have gone at least three. Yes. Three. Yeah. So there you go. Good that we got that clear, Paul, because we didn't have the brief. It. No.
I mean, if you want to do only the best third films, I don't know if you get 10.
I'll tell you something else, Paul. Halfway through this, like doing these lists, I'm like, we should have done worst third films because there's plenty of those. There's relatively few of these.
31
ones.
Episodes after today, Wayne. There's opportunity.
It could totally happen.
You can say a plenty.
Could totally happen.
Shall we say, depending on what people think of this one.
Most and they're like,
look, that's it. And there's no recount today because peek behind the curtains, we're recording two episodes back to back because I'm going to be in Melbourne.
That's right.
For Paul's a weekend. I'm going to be away. So Wayne's got the weekend off. He can jerk off as much as he wants to.
I've already bought some stock in fucking lube. I can't think of a lube brand, but never mind. You know the joke.
KY jelly.
KY jelly. There you go. jack off jokes. Okay.
So let's get straight into the countdown proper. And because, you know, we're minimizing my edit time these days, I'm not going to find another song that goes with
these. No, everyone's still recovering from that. In fucking.
Yeah, no one needs to hear me now play the Batman, our version of the Batman theme tune, right? No, I don't think so. Wayne, take us away. What is your 10th best threequel of all time?
Cool. You're going to have a problem with this, and so will the world. But I am dead serious about it, people. Okay? My number 10 is Scary Movie 3.
How would you like to
Wait a minute, Vegasil. Let me tell you about this, okay?
Never seen it.
First of all, here's the cast.
But still.
Naked fat!
No, suck a dick. The cast is as follows. Anna Faris, Charlie Sheen, Leslie Nielsen, Pamela Anderson, Kevin Hart, Denise Richards, Jenny McCarthy, fucking George Carlin, shit like that, okay? That's among many other people. That's not the reason, Paul, but I'll tell you.
I hope not.
No, because Scary Movies.
Kevin Hart and Jenny McCarthy.
Your absolute faves, as I know. But here's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
Scary Movie, the franchise, can suck a dick. It's always shit, right? Is it always shit? It's always shit.
I've only seen the first one.
Well, let me tell you,
Never watched another one afterwards.
I was in a situation where I was with the Scooby Gang, and we were just like, I can't remember why, but this was on TV, right? And we just started watching it. It's number 3, and it is not the same as the others. It is actually better.
So you watched all the others?
I watched the first 3. Okay.
Why wouldn't you continue? This is the best of the lot.
Because I knew this was a flash in the pan, Paul. This lightning does not strike twice, nor even once, even usually. But it's about...
I question this choice.
Well, remember now, this movie came out, you know, back in the day, and the actual... The
what year?
I don't know, Paul.
I'll
look it up because I knew a motherfucker was going to say that shit, so... shit.
Why?
Why?
Would you go... After 9 years.
2003, asshole.
Anywhere else.
2003. Now, you may understand the plot here is that the lead character, Anna Faris, she comes across a cursed videotape that causes its viewers' death. Yep. Yes. And she has strong suspicions that the tape is linked with these crop circles that appear.
Science.
That's right. On this guy's farm, which is Charlie Sheen's. That's all of the stuff they're doing. They do like Lose Yourself. They do Eminem, 8 Mile. They just recap it.
All that popular around the time.
But it is actually funny, Paul. This one is actually funny. There's a recurring joke that actually gets laughs. It's hilarious. I'm telling you, I'm not saying you're going to rush out and watch it.
I am not.
Because no one will. But I will tell you that number 3 is actually a funny film.
I'm sure there'll be a bunch of listeners now who'll be jumping on the poll about this episode. Right? Wayne was right. Scary 3.
No. Wayne was a dickhead. Hilarious. Fuck Wayne. But, you know, that's how it is. So I'm telling you, Scary Movie 3 is a good threequel. I'm telling you, it's a good one.
I had no idea that was coming.
One guy talking.
My number 10, beating out some hot, hot competition.
Really?
From here. I had one, two.
I gotta say, I did not.
Five honorable mentions. My number 10 is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Low.
Ooh.
Okay. Slightly low.
Obviously, the third film. And I'm taking these as their own trilogy of
Yeah, if
films.
We... Look, there's a couple of Marvels on mine as well. Because you can't really do...
Two.
There's at least two on mine. Okay. So, including this one. Please, tell us about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man No Way Home is a great celebration of what, up to that point in time, was all things Spider-Man in the cinematic universe live-action version.
Bro, this was the last good Marvel film.
It was.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, when it happened, everything was about to slide to shit, and then this turns up, and I'm in
shocks me, this is almost two and a half years old. Two years and like 4 months old.
2021, right? Yeah. This is definitely the last time in a cinema that I can recall.
I mean, a good time with Marvel.
One, that. But two, people cheering and yelling in the show at things that happen on the show. I mean, I'm sure you know what happens.
Well, we're about to spoil it. So, if you, for whatever reason, you've been meaning to get around to Spider-Man: No Way Home.
Fuck off.
And you haven't yet. And you're like, oh, damn, this is the last reminder I needed to watch that movie. It's bloody amazing. And you've managed to avoid the spoilers for this film. First of all, what rocket are you living under? And more power to you.
Yes.
But we're about to spoil this film because this is what makes it special.
That's right.
It's 3, 2, 1. You have been warned. Step away from the mic now/your listening device.
They know.
All the Spider-Men are in this movie.
That's right.
Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and the piece that is on the best of the lot, Tom Holland.
Yes.
Of course.
No Nicholas Hammond, though. But... You know, whatever. Yes, and that's
they
what...
They joined together to fight back against the whole villains. Oh,
that was
so
the
cool.
best thing about it.
And they're bouncing off each other like three Spider-Men would bounce off each other.
First of all, they actually did sort of keep the secret, right? Like, no one really knew until it happened. So that means when Andrew Garfield turns up, we get cheers coming out our ass. And then Tobey Maguire, pretty much in the same scene, turns up, more cheers. But then even better than that, these three became instant brothers, and they're even talking like new age men, which I love because I'm a fucking bitch. All right?
Why? What do you mean?
I'm sentimental about stuff, and
well,
I like
this. This was very sentimental. It was really heartwarming. It was really great. And then the way that
they're supporting each other.
Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man gets to save
this Gwen.
This Gwen, as she's falling MJ?
MJ, sorry. This MJ, not the Gwen.
As she's falling to her death. Like, that was quite the moment, and the way that he's kind of placing himself to be, or was it Tobey Maguire's placing himself to be the worst, and that they're riffing off each other is acknowledging.
Oh no, it was Andrew Garfield because he's like, okay, who's number one? Number one, and then Andrew's like number three. He's doing that because everyone knows he's the worst Spider-Man. Yeah. Really, really good meta shit, but also like just the fact that they're like, you know, they even talk like, I think the self-talk isn't, you know, good. Like, can we go back to you thinking this is bad, sharing experiences?
All good, and then at the very end as well, I think this one really hammers home the emotion of Spider-Man having to lose his place in his universe, if you will, to save it so that MJ no longer knows who he is. Imagine losing Zendaya. Oh, my God.
You know, you're a big fan of hers, and I'm pretty lukewarm on her. She's fine. I don't understand. She ain't no Kirsten Dunst, but that's
good. You're right. She's about infinitely times better.
Dear God. I don't know. I don't know you anymore. I don't know you anymore. Yes. No, that was... But that's the thing, though. I really wonder how they're going to go now. Are they going to make a 4? Is there going to be a 4? Is there a whole new universe? What's going to happen now?
Who knows with Marvel and Disney these days? They have dropped the balls and fumbled it so badly. Also, in retrospect, at the time, like, that was pretty good. I really enjoyed that movie. As you say, little did we know.
It was a bunch of shit.
That's as good as it was going to get again up from then until now.
Yeah.
I mean, some people will say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was perfect and loved the ending. I'm not one of those people.
I did like Guardians. I just can't watch it again.
That movie whipped the fuck out. As far as I'm concerned.
Okay, you and that, I know. But like the, what's next with Marvel?
The next one, I believe there's one coming out this year which now escapes my mind.
It's Deadpool, right?
Yeah, Deadpool.
That's not even this.
And then I heard rumors the other day, Wayne, not to get too far off this beaten track, but that Captain America New World Order, or whatever it's called, is so bad they've gone back for the fourth set of reshoots. Fourth.
That has a Ford, man. And there's fourth reshoot. You know why? Because that was always going to be a piece of shit. Falcon and Your Mother Snatch was the worst TV show.
I don't know how true it was. I saw some rumors on Facebook, but I mean, you can't claim something's a fourth set of reshoots if it's not a fourth set of reshoots, can you?
Look, they could always bullshit about it, but like, and if I was the producers, I would not, like, if they said, oh, you had 4 reshoots and I've only had 2, I wouldn't fight on that. You're just giving it more airtime.
That movie's like 11 months, 10 months away now. So it's been a long time coming. And I think to our relief, and I would say a lot of people's relief, there's only one Marvel film out this year. And that, as you say, Deadpool, not really straight Marvel.
No.
They clearly are resetting a bit the bar here and just sort of scaling it back.
No, they're going back into the well.
They need to.
Absolutely.
They really need to because they've lost their way completely. Not just because Jonathan Majors has been pulled up on and found guilty of the charges he has been. Long before that, Phil, Marvel is a shadow of the former self that it
Isn't
was.
Isn't that sad? Because it was our next Star Wars, man. It was the Star Wars of our generation. Those first three phases were great. It wasn't perfect, but it was great.
No, it wasn't. The difference between Star Wars and Marvel is all this happened since 2008. Star Wars started in 1977 or whatever the fuck it was.
Yes.
And, you know, we had three films till 1984. And then we had three films from the prequel to it from 1999. Like, that's a big gap. There's a lot of time for this thing to be really instilled in the zeitgeist. Yes, we have TV bits and pieces and novels aplenty and comics out of our way, but
I mean, you're right, but I would argue that
they just smashed the fuck out of this while the going was good. And the problem is, eventually, if you listen to your favorite song endlessly, it will lose its luster.
That's what happened, right? Like, because it's something to say that they made, for the 10 years that it did it, or whatever it was, they made that many films and most of them hit.
Yep.
And then, like you said, we got too much of a good thing and then they just started petering away.
You just, anything that's great. It's the donut principle. It's Mr. Italiano's donut principle.
Are you 10 Econ? Year 12, 10, 11, Econ's,
11, 11
Econ our high school teacher. Econ's theater.
He just said, you have the first donut, it tastes amazing. It's sugary goodness. It's got all that. You have the jam. Oh, so good. Have a second one, never quite as good.
No, and then the third
one. Never
fourth,
quite
fifth,
as good. And then by the third, fourth one, you feel sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is Marvel to an absolute fucking T with
so what
they've
we
done.
We think that's what they're doing,
right? The MCU.
Yeah, because that's the old Hollywood adage. You got to go away to come back.
Yeah, well, you just got to give things a chance to breathe, give people a chance to want it. Mm. Like, how much do we want the last Miles Morales film?
Oh, yeah. I'm shitting my
like
pants.
One
right
film,
now.
3 years later, bam. Oh, we're going to get next year. Like, no, the writer strike and actor strikes push things back. Who knows? Not the release date. But we want it so bad.
Do we have a date, Paul?
No.
So Spider-Man, was it Beyond the Spider-Verse? Yep. We don't know when it's coming.
2025 at best.
Piece of shit. All right,
see,
fine.
We want it.
Exactly.
Give us a chance to want something. Don't shove it down our throat until we're regurgitating it and not in a good way.
But not so long that you lose interest. So there's a happy
medium. Yeah, there is a happy medium. You've got to find it. And I think at the moment, the Spider-Verse has got it. So
nice one.
All right, what do you got for your number 9?
My number 9, if this appears on your list, it's going to appear much higher. So I apologize for not really.
Stilly Thunder. Not really, fuck you.
It's John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Yeah, it's higher. Significantly, but not as high as you might think.
Okay, good.
And the reason for that is because John Wick Chapter 4 is so fucking good.
See, this is my favorite of the four.
Oh,
I know.
You're
I know.
Wrong.
Here's the thing about. Look, I'm not going to
poke. Wrong
I'm not
going to
poke
your
holes in number 4
life.
Unlike your hole.
I don't think I said it.
Shut up! Shut up! John Wick Chapter 3.
Let's play that one back if you like, ladies and gentlemen. You see, it all goes horribly wrong.
I think it's
around the time that Wayne said hole.
As is often the case. Now, why I liked this one here, people, is that I think this was the installment where they did realize that you can't just do the same move over and over when John Wick is taking out 20 dudes. He did actually, you know,
yeah, dogs.
Vary it up.
Or Halle Berry had dogs.
Yeah, the dogs.
I know that's why I love this movie, Wayne. Unabashedly,
the real reason I love it is the end sets. The when he turns out at the end,
it's fighting Mark Dacascos.
Yeah, Dacascos. Yeah, but like those the places he was fighting, the way they were lit with all those glass things that were smashing and stuff.
Him,
fuck me, that was good, man. I was like, damn, this is like beautiful. Now, before it was just like an interesting idea. Now it's like, oh, look at your budget, and actually, because it's like tall, like huge sets, really, really cool, and less hiding my head behind my jacket pocket to stop a bullet. Less of that, which is what happened all over the place in number 4, by the way. So I'm
all
just saying.
Good. All good. They established it. It's armor plated, man.
Armor plated?
It's bulletproof.
So when you're holding a bulletproof piece of cloth and I shoot it, Paul, you think you're not going to lose your grip? I don't know. Really? No? Okay. Fine.
Not if I'm John Wick.
Uh-huh. I see where this is all going. Plot armor, ladies and gentlemen.
Plus,
but
you know, him joining up with the manager and is it Sharon? Is that Lance Reddick's character?
I think
name?
So, yeah.
Why am I blanking on the manager's, the actor? Ian McShane, fucking hell.
Oh, that Ian McShane, sorry, yes.
Winston, and it was Sharon for Lance Reddick's character. Yeah, those three fighting together against all the hordes they're attacking, and then that betrayal at the end, what a sting in the tail.
That
for
was
this
a piece
movie.
Of shit, and then it's like, you know, and then fucking Lawrence Fishburne comes. Yeah, I know.
That way this movie started with a fight with the wrestler dude in the library, and then the gun store, they're grabbing guns.
Oh, that was the best thing. And shit. Throwing knives at his dick hell. And he's like just going back and back and back. That was so good shit too. Yeah, so this was the best of the four, in my opinion.
Not.
Hey, was the Dragon's Breath shotgun, was that in four?
Four.
Or three? Is it four? Okay, three. But still, this one's the best one.
Whatever.
So that's what I'm talking
just
about.
Just shoot yourself in the foot there with a Dragon's Breath shotgun. My number nine is, of course, a film which gave us one of the greatest leads, cemented one of the greatest cinematic leads ever. We still refer to him today. He's built an entire career around it. I am, of course, talking about Shop Smart. Army of Darkness from Sam Raimi, starring Bruce Campbell as Ash, one of the greatest characters of all time.
Amazingly, mine is high. I have this, but it's higher.
All right,
it's
nice. Higher. I thought you were going to say not on my list. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, Wayne.
No, because here it is, right? Like, okay, like, if you're a regular listener, you know Paul's the horror guy. I'm not the horror guy. I'm, in fact, the opposite of the horror guy. And Army of Darkness, Paul showed me Evil Dead when we were kids, and I was like, oh, look at that. And it was kind of a bonding experience. We were kids at the time, right? But I still didn't remember it or notice it until Army of Darkness comes out, and now everyone loves this film. Like, the only shit fell apart in this film was the little mini Ashes. Which
yeah,
shit,
right? Little goody two-shoes.
Yeah, that was a bit shit. But everything else, the like, hey, she bitch, let's go, that kind
of
shit.
The first 15 minutes of this film are among the finest opening scenes to a movie ever. I have never been so in love with a character.
Actually, you would have crapped your pants, right? Like, you would have absolutely, like, because... the Ash character was Paul's jam back in the day. Oh, yeah. And frankly, still.
The only two characters I play in Fortnite now are Ash and John Wick. That's it.
This is really? Yeah. They have that option.
Yeah.
I'm quite surprised.
I had to buy it, but yes.
Okay. Very interesting. I did not know that.
Hilarious. And by the stage, Sam Raimi's just given up on the horror route. This is just flat out fantasy fun. Some really, really clever lines.
And
Bruce Campbell is perfect. And I know it's 22 years ago, and he's, like I said, his whole career hinges on this. But, you know, sometimes from the...
That's more than a lot of people get.
...basest of roots, really amazing things grow. And I think this particular series, which I stand to this day, the Evil Dead series of films does not have a bad film. And there are none. This is the closest thing to perfection in terms of quality, general quality of a film series.
Wow.
They're all good. In their own way.
And do you include the TV show?
Yeah, which I still haven't watched the third season of.
See? So, yeah.
But I don't want to.
I don't
want to end. But, yeah. The first two seasons were good. They weren't great. They were good. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing bad. I'm not saying they're all stellar, incredible, and amazing, but there's nothing bad.
Do you think we
the
could
only
do...
film series is better is John Wick, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think we could do another movie like this, Paul? Have we got another movie in the franchise? Would you write one?
Yeah, if someone gave me the brief to do so, I'd love to write another Ash, bring Ash back into the Evil Dead cinematic universe. He's still around. He's the wizened warrior who survived it all before.
And would you send him back in time to that place?
Nah.
You'd keep him modern day.
Contemporary.
In S-Mart.
And with the survivors of the other two Evil Dead films.
Is he a regional manager of S-Mart? Is that what's going on?
Oh, I think he's probably retired now. Wouldn't
yeah, he's probably retired, isn't he?
Yep.
All right.
He definitely did work at S-Mart.
Board member?
He definitely got together with pre-current day Bridget Fonda.
Is that who was in? Is that was
at the very end of this film? She's the one that he dipped.
Is it Bridget Fonda?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, there you are. I can't
Bridget Fonda is Linda. Yep, confirmed on the cast line.
Wow. Okay, that's kind of cool. Nice one. My eight is Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, honorable mention.
Yeah, the first of my Marvels over here. They won't be the last. I'm sorry, people, but this is the most pronounced example of reviving a franchise that I can actually think of because Thor, the first one, did like it. It's definitely part of the OG Marvel, whatever, you know, the Rogues Gallery, the lineup. But number two sucked big dick. It was like Dark World was horrendously
bad.
And
there are those who will say that the fourth film also did not deliver.
The fourth film sucked.
There you go.
I fucking hated it. So this here is the breath of, you know, ambrosia in between the two farts. It's like, are you drinking VB?
No, it's a Banks Atlantic Hazy IPA.
So it's a very green can. I'm
free
like, what the fuck
plug
is Paul drinking
for
VB?
Banks, yeah.
All right, sorry.
How dare you?
That's why I was surprised.
Insult my palate.
I don't know, motherfucker. You're white people. I don't know what y'all drink.
What?
I don't
know. It's racist and offensive.
I know.
Ironically.
Sorry, back to Thor Ragnarok.
Away from V fucking B.
Victoria Bitter is like the most bogan beer you can get, except for Emu Export, which some hipsters drink.
Oof.
In Australia, ladies and gentlemen,
holy
for you
shit,
American
that
listeners.
Beer sucks.
yes, but like I said, this one here was the first time Marvel had just done a comedy. Because in their number of movies, they're like Shang-Chi was Marvel's version of a chop socky kung fu film. Mm-hmm. And motherfucking, you know, like they were doing all different. And this was the comedy, pure comedy genre I found. And boy, did it rock. And I don't know why it then went on to be a piece of shit. Like Taika Waititi did this gold thing right here. I laughed at every pretty much joke. And then he goes and does Love and Ass Juice.
I think, honestly, this film, Taika Waititi was given the basic script. And he got to Waititi it up a little bit.
Which means?
Love and Thunder. They just gave him the keys to the kingdom and said, make a film that follows these basic plot beats.
And it was a fart.
And it was. There's too much of him.
Yeah, there's too much of him. That's absolutely true. And in fact, I've never really been a huge, huge fan of his like that.
I am a fan. Really? I am a fan. I am a defender. I think he's made some great films. Yeah. I do agree, though, that film, I think I was, if I gave it 3 stars, I was generous. It's a 2.5-star film. It drops the ball.
Love and Thunder was turds. But Ragnarok was like, I was raving about it for weeks afterwards because I couldn't believe they did that with Thor. They cut his hair. They made a Hulk dick joke. It's also
beautiful in places. How good beautiful was places. Those Valkyrie shots?
Oh, those Valkyries look like a painting. It's fucking beautiful. Yep. So, I mean, huge ball drop there. This is how erratic it can be when you make your superhero movies, people. It's just, who knows? It's almost like lightning in a bottle. So there you are.
All right. My number 8 is the third and final, not film, because we get the fourth one coming very shortly, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah. Low.
Low. Okay.
Slightly low.
Two, yeah. This trilogy, the second one's the worst for me, although most people like that the best. I don't understand. They think that's a better film than this Matt Reeves 2017 joint, which ends Caesar's story as he leads the apes.
Wait, what are they going to do with them before?
You'll have to watch the trailer, which is out. Have you not seen it?
I have not.
Coming out not that long away, like 6 weeks away.
Okay. We'll do a trailer reaction video for everyone. It'll be cool. Or for the patrons at least, yeah. All right. So, yeah, absolutely, man. But don't you remember, I remember what this show is. Well, I forgot that I was looking at CGI apes. That's how good it was. That's how good the emotive, the faces of the apes.
The CG is incredible.
I've never seen it.
Andy Serkis as Caesar is incredible. Yeah. I still don't understand how he's not been nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
The Academy needs to embrace the fucking times. Streaming and visual effects are the go. Anyway, Woody Harrelson's great as the villain of the piece. Mm-hmm. And you really, if you didn't already, good dear God, do you feel for Caesar in this particular film and want him to succeed and live? And that's the mastery of this trilogy. You're following apes that are going to not wipe us out, but become the dominant species on the universe, yep, in our world. And you so want it to happen.
And more importantly, there's like big traps, like swaths of the film where there are no humans. So it's all CGI or whatever they use.
The little girl who can't speak because the disease.
Oh, of course, yep. Yeah. But mostly like, I've actually not seen it like since in terms of how much you fall into the fact that it's a CG world and you forget it's CG. Like that's how good that is. I've not seen it that good for that long. Probably since this film, 2017, man.
And how much you hate Cobra, Toby Kebbell's Cobra, Steve Zahn as Bad Ape, and I think the film ends on a perfect note, and I would have been happy if we never saw another Apes film, but yeah, we've got Kingdom of whatever it's called coming up, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Is it Matt Reeves?
No.
Ah.
It's Rupert someone or other, I think.
Okay.
Top of my head. Okay. So I am keen to see how that one shakes out. We will cover it on the show. The new one is directed by, Wes Ball, the guy who did the Maze Runner trilogy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll take a look. This is going to be a pretty quick show, everyone, because my number 7 is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay. Well, you knew there'll be crossovers. My number 7 is definitely not, however, going to be one of those. It is directed by Chuck Russell from 1987. It is A Nightmare on Elm Street 3 called Dream Warriors.
Now, did you make me watch this one? Because there was one that you fuckwits made me watch.
Did we?
There was a lot of veins involved. Is that this one?
Veins.
Yeah, at the end, like Freddy chases someone to someplace, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
I don't think so. I'd be surprised.
What happens in this one, Paul?
This one is the perfect culmination of what he began as, which is a horror icon. Just forget number 2, which is just very much a whole thing about coming out, being gay and all the rest of it, which
really
no one believes at the time.
That was the theme
of
number 2?
Yeah, the main actor ruined his life.
Robert Englund?
Very sadly. No, Rob Englund. The main protagonist character, not
Freddy. That's what the movie was about.
Yeah, in effect. Anyway, watch that film. This one, oh yeah, Freddy coming out of someone. It's just the metaphor is very, very high on that film, Freddy's Revenge. Dream Warriors, it gets the balance perfectly right. In this one, he is both comedic, making funny lines. You're on prime time now, bitch, and slams her head into the TV screen. Mm-hmm. You know, the chick who's into drugs, his fingers turn, his knives turn into needles. the Dungeons and Dragons kid who's in a wheelchair. He, you know, uses his magic against him. All that kind of shit. This is the film where he rips out the veins.
There, that's the veins I'm talking about.
Oh, is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
I've watched this one.
Yeah, I have. I can't remember a damn thing.
So when you say veins, I thought you meant like. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very. Some really great gore, some really good gags. And yeah, we get a really, really great protagonist in terms of Patricia Arquette being Kristen, who refused to come back after this and they had to write her out / kill her off immediately with a different actress playing her in number four.
Okay. You people are sick.
Which is real shame. Heather Langenkamp's back in this one, Nancy from the first film. And yeah, even that arc's pretty cool and well done. So this is, without doubt, one of the great horror sequels of all time and one of my faves, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
There you are. All right. Unfortunately, my next one is Army of Darkness.
Oh, okay. My number six, Wayne, also not on your list. Mm. It is George A. Romero's Day of the Dead.
You can count on that.
This is arguably the, I guess, Dawn of the Dead's pretty, they're all bleak. They're all really, really bleak films. And, and if you really want to get down to the nitty gritty, the most number of characters live in this particular film versus number two.
Sorry to hear that, Paul. For
and
you.
Certainly number one. No, but yet, holy shit, the effects in 1985, his and Tom Savini, I believe, is still back on this particular one doing the special effects and the stunts and the like. They are beyond reproach. The gore gags in this movie are second to none by 1985 standards. Like, incredible how good the zombies look. Obviously, The Walking Dead now, almost 40 years later, or 30 years later at the time that it was being made, has improved things. But at that time, without digital trickery and the like to get you through, they genuinely look horrifying.
Are they slow zombies or fast ones?
Yes, very slow zombies, and they overwhelm you with numbers, and which is this creeping, your death looming towards you slowly rather than being chased down by something without really having a chance to get away from it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 28 days later. Mm. There's something else even more horrifying about that, although your chances, obviously, surviving if you're smarter are greater. In this one, the characters, the main characters have gone along with a military base underground and they're doing experiments on a couple of captive dead there to try and work out what makes them tick and how to stop them. And of course, inevitably, eventually, the dead get into this base and start wandering through, ripping everyone to pieces and eating them. And it is terrifying in a level and nihilistic at another that it's hard to mimic. It's one of the greatest horror films, I think, made of all time. As much as Night of the Living Dead created the zombie genre as we know it, this one perfects it. And Dawn of the Dead yet is the most famous one of all, the one in the middle. So if he had to stop making films here, wrote George A. Romero, rest in peace, this would be, I think, probably standalone as the greatest trilogy of all time. Unfortunately, he would go on to make three or is it four more vastly inferior sequels that get worse every particular one.
Yeah, okay. Well, congratulations on actually doing a good horror sequel.
Three more, I think, actually. And they keep talking about number seven with his son directing it, but it just hasn't come to fruition.
Okay, not bad. My number five is War for the Planet of the Apes, Paul.
Oh, shit, it is all me. Number five, John Wick 3.
Oh, shit, okay.
Parabellum.
All right, then we are back to me, and I'm going to do this, which is probably going to give Paul slightly the shits, or at least an eye roll. It's Return of the Jedi, Paul. Now, listen, I know there's a lot about this, but I will
tell
you
something. People love this movie.
I don't give a shit about the Ewoks. All right, the Ewoks didn't piss me off at all at the time. They don't piss me off now because I remember it like I remember that the first time I saw it, okay? It was like, I mean, I know there's been a million Star Wars trilogies, but this one here, you gotta remember. Yeah, roughly a million, three million. But like, what people don't understand about the style, about Return of the Jedi is that, okay, all the Jedis wear these like fucking Jesus robes, right? And they're all cream colored and white and shit like that, okay? And then Luke Skywalker, remember, we had not seen Empire Strikes Back, which I saw in the drive-in. When he comes in and he walks into Jabba's palace, he's wearing all black, all right? Not only...
Number four.
What?
Well, you're number four because he's wearing all black.
No, not just that. Right?
Oh, sorry. Right.
The idea was that, like, if you didn't, now you know, but at the time, you didn't know what Luke's deal was because you knew he fucked off. The last time you saw him, he had got his arm cut off and he was kissing his sister. Like, when you come back now. No. Yeah, that was Empire.
Oh, at the end, he's hugging her, right?
Yeah, but, like, she kissed him in that movie. That's not the point, right? You know the point here, okay? He comes in, you don't actually know if he's evil or not because all of a sudden he's this guy and he's like, well, whatever, I'm giving you these droids as a gift and what the fuck, and here's my fucking lightsaber, which I don't even have, and blam, blam, blam. And then he fucking gets fucked up and then gets dropped into the Sarlacc, no, the pit of the Rancor monster, right? And has to fight. And then you see what a badass he is, even though everyone's looking at him.
Shitty effects of the time. Anyway, yes.
Shitty effects of time, of course. And then it's like, put him on a barge, and then R2 shoots the fucking thing, and he grabs it, and he's doing flips and shit. This is the tits, all right? And even the fact that they went to Endor, because that's the idea that George Lucas had. He said, first movie, sand. Second movie, snow. Third movie, jungle. And that's what we're kind of doing here. But I loved every moment of this film, man.
Really?
I loved it. I always loved it. Yeah. And even the bit at the end with the throwing the Emperor, come on, man. That's huge at the time.
The Emperor stuff really pays off really well, I will acknowledge.
This was the first time.
The whole Endor moon battle thing is ridiculous.
That was cool,
and
man.
Silly AF.
Han Solo, baby. He was all good. Leia got shot. He's like, fuck it. I'm going to pull this gun, take the guy behind. Very cool. I don't know. I love Jedi, man.
Yeah, look, you're so not alone. You, I don't know. My number four, Wayne's going to be on your list. It's just a question of how high. Though now I'm looking what misses your list because you're wrong. Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, my God. Lo.
Well.
Yes, man. Of course, Avengers Infinity War.
Go on. Tell us about it. I've spent a lot of time talking the last 10 minutes.
Fine. Okay, everyone. Avengers Infinity War, technically the third of the Avengers films.
We're clearly
I'm glad you put this in here because I thought you put my foot in my ass. Now, Thanos full...
Has benefit of, 12 other films.
Exactly. And
but still.
We did do that. Yeah, but also, I think that's almost a problem. Like, if you got 12 other films and then you got to top it off something with... what are you going to do? This is what you do, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about it all the time. So I'm just going to give you some interesting points about Infinity War, okay?
Please.
One, of the 24 characters visible on the main poster for the movie, 12 live and 12 die in this film. This furthers the concept of Thanos with his 50% half thing. Okay, very cool. Thanos is an honorable man who always fulfills the promises he makes. He spares Thor in exchange for Loki, as per the deal he makes when giving up the Space Stone. He spares Nebula in exchange for Gamora when revealing the location of the Soul Stone. He spares Tony Stark in exchange for Doctor Strange when he gives him the Time Stone. And all three promised, all of the three people that he said we wouldn't kill, they survived the snap. So he's actually, even though he's a animal, he's actually an honorable animal.
Okay.
Apparently, the original cut of this film, Thanos' snap was going to end the movie. And they said that would have been like, oh my God, what? But the two writers, what's his name?
McFeely.
Yeah,
and
Marcus. Yeah, McFeely and whatever, those guys, right? They had to decide to play the movie past the snap to continue building the tragedy and emotion because the studio really wanted to snap, boom, everyone dies, good, cut.
McFeely and Marcus, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely.
There it is, yeah. And yeah, that's kind of cool. And also, when Groot, just before Groot goes and dies in this movie, he goes, I'm Groot. And he says it to Rocket. James Gunn has confirmed that what he actually said there was, Dad.
Oh.
He called Rocket Dad. It's pretty big, right? It's pretty big. So there you go. That's what I know about Infinity War.
What I know is they did virtually the impossible.
Definitely.
I said 12. They took 18 previous films.
Amazing.
And brought all the characters together and somehow gave them all a moment to shine in one way, shape, or another. And then killed half of them off. And you knew it wouldn't stick. We knew. There was no chance at all.
But for some reason, it was okay.
But it hurt. It felt like, whoa. And that decision not to end on the snap, which I can understand as a natural place to end it. Can you imagine had that the Avengers Endgame been a half an hour longer with all that stuff at the start? It just wouldn't have been as good.
No, true. Exactly.
Whereas this one, you're like, oh, okay, they have to bring everyone back. How are they going to do it? And in the end, it wasn't that satisfying. And a stupid rat pushing a button at the right time allows this to happen and that to happen and blah, blah, blah.
I think this is a symptom of... you really just want to see what happens next, so you're okay for that to happen. I know it was the rat. It doesn't matter.
But even then, Endgame, as much as it wasn't as good a film as this one, at least it closed out that whole Infinity Saga well. Like, that final battle is brilliant and everything else. So, but to have The Empire Strikes Back to name check that film again, moment here where the goodies lose and lose half of their number.
Lose big.
That's a big, bold call for what is, a family-friendly action, comic book, sci-fi, fantasy film.
And again, let's not forget that not only they do the impossible by wrapping up those many movies, it did the real impossible. I remember girls that I knew who were not geeks like me, like every girl mostly, saying to me, oh my God, I just saw Infinity War. I'm crying at the end. I'm like, first of all, this film. Two, you cared. Three, what? Like, that means they knew everyone. They probably, and they also trained this entire fleet of people to stay after the credit. You know, like, this thing did a lot of things that will probably be remembered, but probably not credited. So, yeah, man, Infinity War was the shit. Definitely,
it absolutely is, and obviously higher on your list. Well, I guess we'll see how high shortly. Wayne, what is your number three?
Mal's death. My number three is Skyfall.
Wow.
The third of the Connery. Honorable mention. Of the Connery.
That means you don't have two of my top three.
I'm guessing no, Paul.
No, you can't.
Which I'm kind of intrigued
Math
about.
Math tells me you can't.
Yes, okay. All right, yes. Now, Skyfall, ladies and gentlemen. Let's forget about the fact that everyone shat on Daniel Craig when before Casino Royale came out because they called him things like troglodyte.
They did.
They said he wasn't this, all that.
The guy from Road to Perdition, fuck that.
Exactly. I can only imagine what heat Aaron's going to get. You know what I'm saying? Like... he's probably already got it. I don't know. I don't know. Right?
It's still not confirmed, though. That's the big rumor.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows, right? But now, what happened was Casino Royale, we all love it. It's well documented on this show, much we love it. It's a great film. And then Quantum of Solace, which I still like, but no one else likes. Yeah. Right? And then Skyfall comes along. And we, now here's what happened. I think when James Bond started, I think Daniel Craig was late 30s, I think. I think he's maybe 35. Not sure. Anyway, by the time Skyfall comes out, three movies later, he's old enough for the plot to be Bond, you're aging. Bond, this is a young man's game. Bond, you're out of touch. And what happens, this being a meditation on aging, especially for a spy, he's still doing cool shit. Like he runs towards an elevator that goes up and grabs underneath it and just hangs on and while it's shooting up. Like, honestly, a middle-aged man can't really do that. Only James Bond can do that. So what they do is, while they're still saying, look, you're past it, he's still fucking James Bond. You know what I'm saying?
He's 56 now.
Yeah, so he would have been, what was Skyfall? That was 2012. So,
so yeah, he'd been 44.
44. So, yeah. So, you know, and again, you could argue that, that's when it's, there's very few 44-year-old athletes out there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that itself was all cool and shit. But what made me really love the film is the whole... You know, he got shot, then he disappears, pretend he's dead. But you can see him. He's on an island. He's drinking hard. He's fucking women. He still looks great somehow, right? but then he comes back and he's, you know, he's doing all this other cool shit and he's just coming back into it. And I think that the whole deal was, remember at the end when he goes to Skyfall Ranch and there's that Albert Finney guy who's his, like, gamekeeper or whatever? Mm-hmm. The rumor was that was supposed to be played by Sean Connery and Skyfall was supposed to be a retirement village for all James Bonds.
Oh, okay, right.
Which would have been fucking great, but I understand why he didn't do it, which is why if Sean Connery turns up at the end, all of a sudden you don't
seems
care
bit,
about
seems
Daniel
a bit
Craig.
Ridiculous.
It seems a bit ridiculous, but I just love the idea that they actually gave you an answer as to why everyone's called James Bond instead of having the same actor each time. That's very meta and very cool. I would have loved to have seen it, but I realize why they didn't do it. But it doesn't change the fact that this is an amazing film.
Don't disagree with anything you said there. I think the final sort of Home Alone, James Bond doing the Home Alone shit, gets a whole bunch of invading forces is very cool too. So yeah, nice choice. My number three is a film, Wayne, which clearly hasn't made your list, and I'm a little disappointed. And I know people got into us about not having this film score on either of our lists when we came
what
to
can this be?
Top 10 film score tracks. It's The Lord of Myring.
No, I didn't like
Return of the Return of the King.
Return of the King was too long.
The Academy Award winning film, which I think it's tied for the most Academy Awards ever won by anything ever. 11, I think.
Yeah, this is going to lose me this one, and that's fine with me. But you know what? I actually kind of, I'll be honest with you, I don't really remember it, Paul. I remember number one. I remember number two. And number three, for some reason, because number two was just a big battle the size of D's nuts.
Well,
number one was number one.
Number two was a lot of walking around with talking to trees. Very
I forgot about
slowly.
The trees. Yeah. Return of the King. How long was this? We're talking 3, 4, 7 hours? Like that? Something like that?
It is 200 minutes long, Wayne. 201 minutes, if you must be precise. That's 3 hours.
So nearly
and 21 minutes.
Oh, 3, 6, 9, 6, 12, 18. You're right. It's over.
Thank
Sorry.
You. Thank you for telling me my math is correct.
No problem, cunty.
And the time it took me to calculate how wrong you were for even questioning me.
Look, your speed with numbers has always been one of your benefits. Okay.
4.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd. The number of 5-star ratings here is astronomical. This is one of the most celebrated and greatest films of all time. And yeah, it won. It was a, what do you call it? A group award for the previous three films. Let's not dick around here. Peter Jackson absolutely delivering in a way that New Line and Warner Brothers could never have imagined. I wish they'd never gone back to the well with the Hobbit films, which was a massive mistake to take, you know, a 250-page book and try to make three films out of it. Just you greedy motherfuckers. It sucks. They all suck.
I'm glad I never watched that thing. But the this, do you think?
But here is the peak of it. I still like number one the best.
Is there an element of this film that you can point out that was like your one of your favorite moments in the film? Or something about it at least? It's hard to remember, isn't
Aragorn sort of standing there and then rushing towards the gate by himself.
Oh, that was actually pretty cool. Yes, I do recall that being cool.
Amazing.
That was good.
The defeating the spider thing, which is awesome as well. I think the whole way they played the whole Sméagol versus Gollum thing is really, really cool too. So, which was set up in the previous films but pays off here. So... Yeah, maybe I should give it a look. And I don't disagree with you that the last 20 minutes could have been cut down to 5. No problem. This film should have been 180 minutes long, maybe 185 tops.
I think this is a result of, because apparently at the end of this film, like they just return to the Shire and it's all good. But I think in the book...
Not Frodo. Frodo goes off on the ship too with the elves.
Yeah, yeah. So the other two come back and they all get beefed up with fucking like, you know, I don't know. They get like steroided up and they fuck fucking people. It's like even more story and stuff, which they just had to cut out. So it's, apparently we're lucky we only got a 3 and a bit. You know, it could have been 4 hours.
Yeah. And the reason why I've never really got into the trilogy of books is that the action is very light on. It's just all world building. It's all world building.
It's all world building in elven language, Paul.
And talking and stuff.
I threw that book across the room.
Yeah, again, to the fans, and I do totally credit the man Tolkien for creating this whole genre. I'm not knocking it. We wouldn't have Dungeons & Dragons without him. We wouldn't have fantasy, whatever.
Absolutely.
Everything. But you cannot deny that those books are boring.
Yeah, my big sister has leather-bound tomes of this shit. And I'm like... This is shit. She goes, fuck you and fuck the horse you rode in on. I'm like, yo, man, I'm just saying. This shit is boring.
Yeah, but if you're looking for what these films deliver in spades, which is a great balance between character development and battles and action.
That's why you want
the books
films.
Don't have it.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, look, I should probably see it again.
I think you should. You should. All right, then, Wayne, what is your number two?
Well, of course, it's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Also my number two, which means you don't have my number one.
I do not have your number one. All right, so everyone, it's well known that I love Temple of Doom, and no one else, including George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, don't like Temple of Doom. They didn't.
No one says this is the best. No.
Yeah, I probably enjoy it the best.
Except you and Justin Winters from the So I Married a Movie Geek podcast.
Purely out of nostalgia, you know, Molaram, Sudaram, fucking Hearts on Fire, all that kind of shit, right? Really,
hearts
really good
on
stuff.
Fire.
Last Crusade. Now, here's what happened with this one. All right. Yes, you got Ilse Schneider, who Paul loves, and I love too. She's great.
Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? She's great. He goes to Venice. Ah, Venice.
Until she becomes a Nazi.
Yeah, and then, you know. Then you got to give it away.
That's questionable.
Yeah, but by then he's already
she
hit
made
it.
She my
so.
Top 10 women I'm most likely to marry.
He's already slammed it by then. It's fine, you know. Yeah. So it's like, but like.
Wayne's World.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh my God, how have I not had that on the soundboard?
Well, he couldn't do it afterwards.
Right.
Once you know she's a Nazi, you can't hit any of that.
Wayne, do you think about it?
All right, but what was made it so cool?
Did you renounce your ways? What ways? Okay.
No, why it was cool, I reckon, as well, was that, okay, so the Sean Connery, his dad thing, that was an angle you wouldn't necessarily think would work, but I remember hearing about it from people. Bill, in fact, told me in school.
That he also slammed Elsa.
No, he said that this movie has Harrison Ford and his dad is played by Sean Connery.
And they both bang the same woman.
I know, which was a benefit I did not like think would going to happen.
Benefit?
Not if you're Indiana Jones. Imagine slamming a woman that your dad slammed, Paul. Can you imagine that?
No.
I couldn't either. No, that's no good at all. And that woman's messed up.
That's uncomfortable.
That woman's messed up if she's doing that, by the way. Okay, that's fucked up. All right, so anyway.
Even if it's Sean Connery.
I don't get it.
No, 1988 version. 1989, sorry, version thereof.
Apparently he used to have that with women, like even when he was like fucking like 200 years old. So, you know, who knows? But I am saying, though, that...
I think Harrison Ford still has it today, right? Don't a number of our female listeners, all three of them, all go like Harrison Ford, hell yeah.
I'd hit that shit myself. Mm. Yeah, slowly. So
with due deference.
But you know what? The scenes where him and Sean Connery were in the motorcycle with the sidecar and all that shit, and then he's like, woohoo, and he does something, he looks at Sean Connery. Sean Connery gives him this disapproving look. And, I remember laughing at that in the cinema. Like, all those fucking moments were great. And again, like all good indie movies, it's a little horror-y at the end.
Yep.
He chose poorly, you know. None of the ones after that did that, and it suffered for
to
it.
To the detriment, sorry.
Absolutely. So there you go. Indiana Jones. You liked it too?
Right? I love this movie. I love the side characters. I love Sala in it. I love Denham Elliott's Marcus in it too.
Who I recently found out is supposed to be gay.
He recently found out on the show live.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Binge
I didn't
movies
think he was gay.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. That makes him cooler.
I love all the shit. The whole, the pen is mine, the sword, indeed.
And him and Sean Connery doing like the like little handshake or whatever. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. We of course there was cool chums. That's right.
So many good moments in it. And such a, again, had they left this trilogy alone at number three and never made four nor five.
Five was shit, wasn't it?
Five, I still like five better than four, but that's not saying much.
Yeah, I know. Ah, God.
And had they had the balls to leave Indiana Jones in the past, that would have been a perfect end for his character, I still maintain.
There's no chance for a six.
No. Come on now.
No, right?
Seriously, poor Harrison. Let the man enjoy his golden years.
Exactly. He's already fucking in that movie that they're shooting three times.
All right, Wayne, run us through your 10 through and then reveal your number one, which I know what it is because if you're paying attention, so do you.
My number 10 was Scary Movie 3, that's right. Number 9, John Wick, Chapter 3.
Excellent.
8, Thor Ragnarok. 7, Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yep.
6, Army of Darkness.
Yep.
5, War of the Planet of These Nuts.
Yep.
4, Return of the Jedi.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
3, Skyfall. 2, Last Crusade. And number 1 was, of course, Avengers Infinity War, which I just talked a lot about.
All right. My number 10 is Spider-Man No Way Home. 9, Army of Darkness. 8, War for the Planet of the Apes. 7, A Nightmare on Elm Street. 3, Dream Warriors. 6, Day of the Dead. 5, John Wick Chapter 3 -Parabellum. 4, Avengers : Infinity War. 3, Lord of the Rings : The Return of the King. Number 2, Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. My number 1. Logan.
Ah, Loyan.
Logan, technically completing the Wolverine trilogy. Really had to get into the technical specs of this here because, of course, there's a lot of X-Men films, but it's no different than Avengers Infinity War.
That's why it actually dropped off my radar because you've got all the X-Men's, but then it's Wolverine Origins, Wolverine, the one in Japan, and then this one. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Great. That would be my honorable mentions if I thought of it as a third movie.
This film still blows me away. We had to see Daphne Keane in the Acolyte TV, Star Wars TV series.
Was that right?
She's in that. She's fantastic as well. And of course, our man from Star Trek The Next Generation, Patrick Stewart, as Professor X, is
cursing and being like a cursy. Yeah, like, that was
obviously
great.
Afflicted with dementia or Alzheimer's or the like there. I just think this is the most gritty, realistic, and heartbreaking take on the superhero.
Agree, 1,000%. This was an amazing, amazing film.
Very few films affect me emotionally. This film absolutely did. And the way that it all plays out at the end, chills down the spine. There are a few cinematic moments that I will treasure more in my memory than poor, what's her name in this X-23, grabbing the cross and turning it to be X.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what a perfect button on a middling series which has some high points and some low points, none higher than Logan.
I heard a story that the Wolverine that is in Japan is a James Mangold film as well.
Yes.
And apparently it's great. It's just got 15 minutes of bullshit in it, but people wrote the whole thing off. I never saw it. Did you see it?
That's The Wolverine.
The Wolverine, that's
it's
right.
It's got moments which are really good, but a lot of shite.
A lot of shite, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a shame that. Bets on what's going to happen for the new one, Paul.
I will say this for James Mangold. He is really a versatile director. Let's listen to this sort of the films he's directed. Night and Day, Identity.
Didn't mind it. Oh, Identity. Yeah, I know you
3:10
like
to Yuma, Walk the Line, The Wolverine, Ford versus Ferrari, Girl Interrupted, Kate and Leopold, Copland.
Oh, really?
The fifth Indiana Jones film, and of course, Logan. So that is, you can't pin this bloke down. He's prepared to take chances in different genres.
That's true.
I wish he would come back and do more adult-oriented superhero films because The Wolverine is still very traditional. It's got a bit more of an edge, but still very traditional kind of.
I mean, that was in the
film.
Time when that's what films are like, and you know,
like
those
2014, I want to say 2013. Logan, what's peak superhero cinema, and we'll do this, Wayne. Here's my commitment: before the end of this podcast, we should do the top 10 superhero films again. I know we did it at some point.
No, it's come on since then.
We've had 10 years worth of largely Marvel films now to pad out that list. So
that's right. We've got different shit now.
Yep.
What's the bet for the new Wolverine? I mean, who do we know who's doing it?
Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Deadpool, yeah, that kind of thing. I don't know what they're going to do.
Is Sean
Levy
directing that film?
I think so, but like, what could they possibly? Because obviously, it's set before Logan. Is the idea?
Well, yes. If you take Logan as canon, that's why I was a little bit dubious initially
about
his build list.
Well, he said that. He said we're not touching any of the Logan stuff because this all happened before Logan.
Okay, so
I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
Therefore, it has
I
to be
don't
a timeline
know.
Thing or a yeah, different multiverse. A it's a multiverse
it's
thing.
It's a multiverse thing.
Well, because they've got the time variance authority in the trailer. So we are taking a different Wolverine
yes.
from
so
a different
they'll
universe.
Either go back to him or take that Wolverine here.
I should take it to a different universe. Yeah. Just get a different version
yeah,
of
yeah, make
the
it. That's what it'll do. It'll be a different Wolverine yeah. that had nothing to do with this guy. Because he's wearing that yellow outfit.
Yeah, because this guy here is, that's his own thing. That's and, right. And yeah, exactly. That whole universe is his own thing too. And they should not touch that because it was perfect.
Most deaf.
There you are, Wayne. You said you had no honorable mentions? Is
no,
that
I got
correct?
A few. I got Captain America and Civil War.
Yeah, close on mine too, but yeah. it was a good
film. It wasn't
film.
As good as two, so I mean, you know, it was still a great third film. I almost should have been on there. I even put Revenge on the Sith on here to piss you off.
fuck off.
I get a lot of heat for this, but I actually thought the third Men in Black, where they had Josh Brolin playing young...
Did you get a lot of heat from it? People like that movie
really?
Way more than the second one.
I didn't. Oh, yeah, the second one was shit. And... yeah, that was it.
Well, I'm about to up your game here, Wayne. Hit Mission it. Impossible 3...
Good really? JJ film? One. You like that one?
Predators. Good film.
Oh, was that number three? Yep. Was it Topher Grace?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Adrian Brody. And easily my number 11, and it was hard to leave off the list, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Really?
Hot Town, Summer of the City, man.
Do you like that one more than two?
Yes.
I like two.
No. I mean, you're allowed to like more than two, but I'm saying no, it's nowhere near as good a film.
All right, wait. Was it better
John McTiernan comes back, steps back in the directing chair. We get that awesome interplay between... Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson.
I know, yeah.
Jeremy Irons is the bad guy. He's the brother of Hans
okay.
Gruber. It's yeah. a fucking great movie.
Huh. What did you think of the 4.0?
Right.
I didn't mind that one. And then
it all
everything
goes downhill.
Else, yeah, everything turned
oh, there's only one more after that. And that effectively killed
Jai Courtney,
it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jai Courtney killed everything yet again. That man can kill you dead yeah. where you stand.
He's the Stephen Dorff of sequels.
He is the franchise killer. We've established a few things over the years in this show. De-palmering as a thing, and the franchise killer Jai
yes.
Courtney. Do not have him in your series of films or a film if you want to have a sequel.
That's right. Especially, yeah, or kill him off, you know, like a Suicide Squad.
But even then, too late. That whole thing's been rebooted. He killed that whole series, too.
Yep. That's
all your fault, Jai Courtney.
And he's a fellow Aussie. It's hard to say.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
what
not.
You
you're fucking shit.
Comments from the super coach.
Okay.
All right.
That's Alice. What about yours? Wrap up every episode of the podcast with your feedback on the topic at hand, the segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Kia Crow. Said number 3, Captain America, colon, Civil War. The
what mentioned. Up, girl?
Number 2, John Wick, colon, Chapter 4, hyphen, Parabellum.
What up, girl, too?
And number 1, Logan. Will hurt you, Kia, but this week you got to vote for me.
Says Paul. You can vote for me. Fine, girl.
Sam Hurley from the Movie Views and 20 Qs podcast. Apparently, maybe not coming to an end anytime soon. Can't wait to hear your guys of really awesome movies, but with an even better predecessors, unless you guys have my number one. Hold on to your skirt there, Sam. Number 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Number 2, Lord of the Rings, Colin, Return of the King. Number 1, Logan!
Well, that was perfectly pleasant.
B Dizzle, Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast, the Potty Mouth Podcast Network. Number 3, Indiana Jones, Last Crusade. Number 2, Chasing Amy.
Ooh, good call. Nice one. Good pull.
Number 1, Lord of the Ring, Return of Wayne's colon.
All right, you win.
Chris Sutherland said Logan, Return of the King, and Thor, Ragnarok. David Powell, who gave me a long explanation about why things don't count and whatever else, but anyway. And then 5 instead of 3. So, David, here's all you get. Red from the Three Colors Trilogy, The World of Apu from the Apu Trilogy, and The Exorcist 3 from Exorcist. Love his left field choices.
I knew he'd pull some film student shit like that.
Well played, sir. Lee Allen Thomas said National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I thought about that one.
At 3, number 2. Back to the Future 3, number 2.
A lot of people don't like the cowboy shit. I
don't
mind it at all.
I like it. Yeah. I'm sorry. I love people that I love that you love it, Lee, but not for me. But number 1 is Last Crusade.
Word.
Luke Alexander says Sharknado 3, arguably the best of the franchise. It's a fucking low bar, Luke. Number 2, Avengers Infinity War. Number 1, Scary Movie 3.
What up, dude? Oh, what? I didn't think anyone would have that. I thought it was going to be
a
pull.
Bingo.
Nice one, brother.
Jonathan Kidd said Toy Story 3, number 3. Yeah, probably could have been on my list, on a mention list. Number 2, The Enforcer. Don't know what that one is.
Is it Chuck Norris?
Maybe.
Okay.
No? Number 1, Jedi. So I assume that's Return of the Jedi.
Oh, maybe it's Dirty Harry.
No,
anyway,
okay.
anyway, go on.
Chad Fackler said, I'm really looking forward to how Wayne screws this up. Well, I think you heard that, Wayne. Sorry, Chad.
I don't know what scary both of you
movie
talk about.
Three.
Eat dicks. Everyone liked that. Well, one person did.
All right, my list number three. Back to Future 3. Not the best movie ever, but I liked it. Number two, Army of Darkness. All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. And number one is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Henry, son, I didn't know you could fly a plane. Indy, fly, yes. Land, no.
Yeah, I remember that.
Great nice. Line. Philip Wilson, patron extraordinaire to the show. Return of the King, Logan and Infinity War. It's like people are just channeling.
You just rub yourself a little more, why don't you?
Oh, what I'm trying to say is, I'm the best.
I'm trying to say, here's my asshole licking.
Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast. Do check them out. Said Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, number three. Return of the Jedi, best space battles in the saga, number two.
What up?
And One Avengers Infinity War. There's a vote for you, I reckon, Wayne.
What up, two?
Very nice. Gerald Morris from the Two P's on a podcast with Nick Haskins. Dream Warriors, Toy Story 3, and Logan. Thank you, Gerald. You won't vote for me because you don't log in long enough. Adam Cracknell said, this is a heartless to make, in my opinion. Could swap two and three out for a number of films, depending on my day and mood. Absolutely agree with you, Adam. War for the Planet of the Apes, number three. Avengers Infinity War, number two. Number one, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, which I believe makes it the number one choice.
Really?
All this.
Yeah.
Return of the King came up the most. Makes sense.
Very nice.
Its stature in this world. And that's it for us today. Now, Wayne, we haven't agreed on episode 470.
Which is often the case with us.
Well, we've also got like an extra week to decide. So.
That's true. We'll get back to you, folks. We'll get back to you.
The thread will be up in the Facebook listening community. Get involved there. Join up. Links in the show notes.
Please, everyone's talking.
You've got like 31 episodes, if my math is correct.
Don't do a countdown. We'll just, you know, we'll just ease
why,
out.
Why would we do a countdown on a show called The Countdown?
Shut up, motherfucker.
You can't handle the truth.
Wayne, how do the good folk get in touch with us?
They can Google The Countdown Podcast, find all of our socials, follow us all kinds of ways. Send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com or check out the website, thecountdownpodcast.com.
Follow us on Podbean, where we host the show. And I think Wayne's mentioned the website. Check out our Patreon via there. I've mentioned the Facebook list community. And on X, we are The Countdown PC. It's been an absolute pleasure again. Thank you so much for joining us today as the John Farnham tour continues.
Fuck off. You're inadvertently saying that we're not actually leaving, Paul. That's what's going on.
Well, I'm saying we're leaving, but not for another 30 weeks.
Oh, God. All right, fine.
31, if we're being precise.
Enough John Farnham. Let's go. All right.
My name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
I fart in your general direction.
Stop shitting on my John Farnham jokes. We'll catch you next time. See ya.